I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to start with playing a song that I wrote that I've been kind of like holding this week. Sorry, I need this because I need lyrics because I forgot my lyrics. Feels so different today. Just quiet. Welcome to 2022. In the name of Jesus, welcome to 2022. Amen. This last year has been a hard year. I'm sure there's some in the room that could tell different stories of goodness. I hope we all have things we can look back on and acknowledge God's grace and mercy and kindness and goodness. I hope that part of your practice as you get to a moment like this is not just decrying the hard, but remembering where God showed up in it. And for me, this year was one of the hardest years of my pastoral life for many reasons. Just reading through my journal this year, I have a practice at the end of the year of rereading the year. It was utterly exhausting just to read it. I found my heart rate going up and my smartwatch telling me to calm down. And so today I just want to share from a scripture that God led me to this year in a way that became a habit. I actually ended up with an alarm on my phone that went off every single day of the week at 11:28 a.m., inviting me to pause for 2 minutes, 11:28 to 11:30, to recall the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28 to 30, and let those words reframe me. And that has been a scripture that Simon already referenced that has been the means of grace, of God speaking life to me daily, redirecting me, resetting me. And so I want to just lead us in a reflection on it this morning as we step into a new year together. But before we do that, I'm going to play a song. Hopefully I can make this work. I did not warn Brandon. Hi, Brandon. This was a last minute decision. Are you okay with me just staying on this playing? Okay, I'm going to stand here just because this is where the short chord goes. Some of you know I write songs here and there out of my prayer life, and oh, that's the wrong song. Don't do that. I have recorded some songs, but you never record them until they're ready to be recorded. In other words, they might not be good yet. So this one, I have not yet to call my brother, who's a recording engineer, and say, "Hey, let's record this," because I think it's still in process. But this is a song. A prayer out of Ezekiel 37. Many of you know it, the Valley of the Dry Bones text. And it's this prophetic word. Israel is in a place of desolation. And Ezekiel, the prophet, is given this vision from God of looking over a valley where everything is dead. And God says to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And there were times this year where I had fear in my soul of just the pressure that we were walking through. There are times where I was praying for others of you day after day, feeling an awareness that there was fear, hopelessness in many. And I found myself meditating on that prophetic word in Ezekiel 37 and Ephesians, and how in Christ, by grace, we are raised up with Christ and seated with him, even in the midst of all that's going on. And so this prayer stirred up for me, and I hope I can do it justice. So, oh, do I need to turn this on? Yeah? Okay. So hear it as a prayer, and then there's a bit of a word in it as well from maybe the Spirit speaking. I haven't played this on Simon's guitar. It feels different. Raise us up in Christ. Make us come alive. We have lost our breath in the fear of death. Raise us up in Christ. Make us come alive. We are weak of heart, stumbling in the dark, living Jesus, living Jesus. These dry bones can rise as your word revives. A new life will come. The curse is undone. Raise us up in Christ. Make us come alive. Fill us with your breath. Give us hearts of flesh. Raise us up in Christ. Make us come alive. In our needy hour, bring your kingdom power. Living Jesus. Jesus, oh risen Jesus, reigning Jesus. These dry bones can rise as your word revives. A new life will come. The curse is undone. These dry bones can rise as your word revives. A new life will come. The curse is undone. Dry bones, hear the Spirit. Maybe that's you. Dry bones, hear the Spirit. Dry bones, hear the Spirit. Dry bones, hear the Spirit.
I just share that because it's a prayer I pray a lot for us, and I pray for you. Some of you, I pray for it by name and have a lot over this year. And just have felt the need, like Ezekiel in that passage, to speak out into the heavenly realms the hope of Christ's resurrection power over us, over you, over me. So whether that song ever gets just forgotten, I have a few on my list that I have a title written and I have no idea what the words were. This one might get forgotten, but it's a prayer I'm praying. Okay, I wanted to take us into Matthew 11, 28 to 30 for 10, 15 minutes here. So if you have a Bible, open it with me to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. If you don't know the passage, this is a screenshot sort of text. Many of us have us memorized. I'm going to read the words for us. And my aim this morning is just to lead us in a bit of a series of observations on the good news of Jesus in this passage, and out of it, to listen for where God is speaking to us as we step into this year. So let me read it for us and we'll pray. Jesus says, Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, living God, thank you. Thank you for the songs we've already sung today that have invited us to wake up to the reality that you are alive and present with us, that you are in our midst, that you are at work even when we cannot see it, even when we cannot feel it, you are at work, seeking us in holy, rescuing love, every one of us, and every person in our life, in our world. I thank you, God, for the women and men who have prayed for each of us. As we've sung these songs this morning, some of us have been prayed for as we've sung. Our hearts have been on the heart of another, and that's happened because we are on your heart, God. You are seeking us. So we just come to you today, thankful for that. Thank you that by your Spirit, you continue to take what you spoke centuries ago to the women and men before you on the hillside, accounted for us in Matthew 11. And yet again today, in these days, you make these the means of your living voice to us. So open us up to hear your voice today, God, to us. Today. Amen. Can I just ask right off the start, is this a passage that has had significance for you at some point? For me, yes. Don't feel you have to raise your hand. Nothing spiritual about everyone raising their hand on this one. Yeah. There are a few passages that I have probably come back to as much over my adult life as this passage. I can't say about my teens because I don't think I remember my teens and what passages stood out to me, but as an adult, this has been a significant text. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right. 7 observations. I'm not going to expand on them. I'm just going to give them to help us enter into this. I come back to this passage. This is number one. I come back to this passage again and again because it tells me and reminds me every day at 11:28 that Jesus gets it. That Jesus gets me and you and us. He knows that so often we are weary and burdened, that this even characterizes many of our lives. Unrest. And not just at a body level, but at a soul level. Jesus speaks later about rest for your souls. Because at our core, we feel a deep weariness and burden. So I'm thankful. It's one of the reasons I come back to this passage. Just the grace of knowing, as like a sigh of relief in me, that Jesus gets me, that God in Jesus gets me, gets it. And by 11:28 in the morning, I often feel about that already. 2nd observation, not only does Jesus get it, but he understands why. He knows we are weary and burdened because, according to Jesus, we are wearing the wrong yoke, a a yoke we were never meant to wear, a yoke that so often crushes us. So just a word on yokes. This is a sub-point of second observation, a word on yokes. We often think of yokes as a thing that puts two cattle together or animals together in a farm, and there is connection to that that is helpful and valid. That said, in Jesus' day, rabbis used this word, an idea, constantly, consistently to refer to how one makes sense of life with God and the responsibilities that come with this. They referred to the yoke of the law. This was common phrase, a common word used in Jesus' day, and Jesus was understood as a rabbi. So when he said, talked about yokes, seems likely he was referring to this. Jesus' contemporaries often talked about the yoke of the law that every faithful Jew was responsible to embrace and obey. And each rabbi had their own interpretation of the particulars of the law, just like every pastor has their own angles, right? And that was referred to as the rabbi's yoke. So to take on a yoke is to take on a way of making sense of God and life with God. It's not just something a rabbi has, right? It's something we all have. Nigel, you have a yoke. Sue, you have a yoke. Every one of us does. We have an idea of who God is and what life with God is supposed to look like and feel like. Every person in the world does. Of what, how life is supposed to work. That's our yoke. It's this framework of how we make sense of life with God and the responsibilities that come from that. We have a particular God story, a center. No matter how much we've been to church or Sunday school or never, we all have this way of making sense of life. And so back to this passage. Jesus says that we are weary and burdened because we're wearing the wrong yoke. A yoke we were never meant to wear. A yoke that often crushes us. A yoke we've taken on ourselves. And I say that because this is actually what Jesus says about being burdened. It's a Greek thing. Maybe Daniel understands this best, or maybe Carol Wilcox, who's been studying Greek at Regent College this last year, understands this. And it comes down to the voice. So words in Greek can be said with a particular voice, a passive voice, an active voice, or a middle voice. Active being, I do something to this. Passive being, this happens to me. Middle being, I this do this to myself. Jesus uses the word burdened here in a middle voice. That we are overburdened. We are burdened by a yoke we put on ourselves. We take ourselves. Doesn't mean others don't have a part in it. But it's a yoke that we have had a part in receiving, taking. That sounds heavy. So, third good news in this. So Jesus understands, Jesus knows why, and third, there is rest in Jesus for those who are weary. This is again why I come back to this almost every day at 11:28. There is rest in Jesus for weary people. He says, I will give you rest. In Greek, he literally says, I will rest you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will rest you. In other words, this is what Jesus does. He rests us. It's not the yoke that gives us rest. It's Jesus who gives us rest. And this is a word of grace to me as a pastor, as a dad, as a friend. Maybe a word of grace to you that it's not me that gives rest to you or our team or my son or my wife, but it's Jesus. Jesus is the rest giver. And my role, even as a pastor or as a dad or as a friend, is to come myself to the rest giver and to invite you to join me. Not just to tell you, rest, Aaron, rest. Come with me to the rest giver. Fourth, Jesus' yoke can be yours. Do you hear that? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will rest you. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus' yoke can be yours. There's two gifts in this. One is just that, Jesus' yoke can be ours. And second, we can be free from the yokes that have been crushing us, maybe for decades, a lifetime. So what is Jesus' yoke? What is Jesus' yoke, right? We already defined what yoke is. It's a way of making sense of life with God and what comes from that. What is Jesus' yoke? Well, if we read the verse before this, it's on the screen there. Sorry, I've got it there. You got it there. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus describes his yoke as his relationship with the Father. Hear what he says in this verse that precedes, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He said, Jesus says to the Father in prayer, in front of others, he says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. So there's this intimate interaction, intimacy, that is useless to say, but this intimate knowledge, this shared life, this partnership. In the Gospel of John, we see it constantly as Jesus refers to how his everyday life is shaped by his intimacy with the Father, his hearing the Father's will, his obedience to the Father, his pursuit of the Father's glory, his dependence on, his trust in the Father. He's willing to obey the Father because he knows he can trust the Father. Here, Jesus says, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So it's like this intimate knowing between the Father and the Son. And then Jesus says, and then I open the door and invite you in. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will rest you. Take my yoke upon you. Come and enter in. You can enter into the intimacy of the Father with Jesus. To experience life in the intimacy and empowerment of the fellowship of the Father. So, Jesus gets us. Jesus knows why. There's rest in Jesus for those who are weary. Jesus' yoke can be ours, yours. Fifth, we don't have to make this up or try to figure it out on our own because Jesus offers to teach us how to live in his yoke. I love that. This is gospel. This is good news. We don't have to make this up or figure this out on our own because Jesus himself offers to teach us to live in his yoke. He says to you and to me, weary and burdened as we are, he says, learn from me. In other words, I am offering to be your teacher. You can come and learn from me, not just from Scott, not just from John Dixon, not just from whoever. John Piper, whoever, Timothy Keller. Jesus says, come learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Ah, good news. Six, good news. Jesus' yoke fits. It's what we're made for. And I say it fits because the word easy, my yoke is easy, literally means that it fits us, not that it's effortless. Man, that translation is really unhelpful. My yoke is easy. We read this verse and think, oh man, life would be so much easier. Everything would just happen, it'd just all click. Everything I asked for, wanted, would just happen and go. But when Jesus says my yoke is easy, he means it's the yoke that fits you. It's what you were made for. If you wanna go back to thinking about animals and yokes that crush. We often live with, we take on an image of God, a story of God and how life is supposed to work with him that actually has been crushing us. But this is the yoke that fits us, that we've been made for. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, it fits. Seventh, last observation. Jesus, the one who offers you his yoke, who tells you to come to him, who invites you to come to him, to learn from him, to take his yoke upon you. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. Take that. Sometimes we think of God, we think, oh, heavy, oppressive. It's going to make life really hard or whatever, distant, disengaged. Dane Ortlund has a little book called A Gentle and Lowly, book written for pastors reflecting on a Puritan. I tried reading it and I kind of started falling asleep. I'm sure there are others who love this book. It's actually like a top seller among pastors, but I guess I'm not wired that way. But he has this one brilliant line at the beginning of the book, and he makes this comment, taught to him by his dad, Ray Ortlund. Some of you know Ray Ortlund, another pastor, author for another generation. He says, this is the only time in the Bible where Jesus tells us about his own heart. I am gentle and humble in heart. This is at the core of who Jesus is and wants us to know about himself. And he's the revelation of the Father. It's the only time in the Bible where Jesus tells us about his own heart. Dane Ortlund says it this well. He says, if Jesus hosted his own website, the most prominent line of the About Me drop-down would read, gentle and lowly in heart, or gentle and humble in heart, which makes the invitation always good. All right, there you go. That's my 10 observations. So that's the good news. Here's the other news. And it's not bad news, but it's the other news, the vital news in all this. The news that has led me back to this passage every day, pretty much for the last half year. That the rest that Jesus offers us isn't found by simply knowing this. Knowing some or any that I've just considered, all that we've just named. Case in point, some of the weariest people have this passage memorized. Some of the weariest people preach on this passage. Some of the weariest people have this on a cushion in their house or on a plaque on their wall, cross-stitched maybe, or however that works. Now, the rest that Jesus offers for our soul comes as we hear and respond with a yes to the invitations he says here. He says, come to me. Byron, Zach, Elias, come to me, Jesus says. Not just do better this year, not just get your stuff together, not go get that book and read that so you have a better argument. Not do more, do better today, this week, this year. Not, hey, just take a week off. Go to Hawaii for a month. Give yourself some grace. Not that any of those things are bad, but they are not what Jesus says is what will bring us rest. He says, come to me. Come to me. It's an invitation to relationship, to know God in Jesus, to be known. This is the starting point and the forever home of the Christian life. Jesus invites us, weary and burdened as we are, to come to him. So what are you doing in place of coming to him? That's why I've come back to this passage almost every day since July. You could read my journal, but I'm not going to lend it to you. Because so often I go grab another book, listen to another podcast, try to figure out another best answer. And Jesus says, come to me. He says, take my yoke. That's the second invitation. Take my yoke. Jesus has something that you and I need that we do not have apart from him. Jesus has something we all need that he wants to give to us, and it's his yoke. So what's keeping you from coming and taking and receiving the yoke that Jesus is offering you? Some of us want to come, but we don't want to let go of the yoke we have or let Jesus change it. But we need to, because it's crushing us. Jesus says to you, come to me. He says, take my yoke upon you. And third invitation, Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. Yes, listen to the people that I have given you. Right? The Spirit has gifted the body of Christ. God is speaking to us through so many things, but some of us have adopted someone else as our life coach, our guru, our main perspective giver. And we need to repent and come back and explicitly bow to Jesus to seek to commit and again seek to learn from Jesus. And not merely just to learn his ethic, but to learn to live in his yoke, to live in the Father. To take the posture of a humble and hungry student at the feet of Jesus, in his word, among his people, by his Spirit. So who are you learning from, friends? Who has had your ear this last year? Who's your rabbi? Who's your life coach? Jesus says to you, weary and burdened, he says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let's just pause and be still. I'm going to read this passage for us one last time, and then Simon, come back. We need to wrap up for the sake of our kids' ministry. I'd love to stay longer, but Kenzie planned for a window of time that we need to honor, and we don't want our children to implode, or our kids' ministry leaders too, as well. So let's stop, and not, I don't want us to rush out. Let's pause and hear what Jesus is saying to us. And I'm going to read this passage one more time to help us in that. And then we will sing a song that will just let us linger here. So as we come to hear the words of Jesus in this text one more time, is there a part in all this that you have needed to hear today? Is there a part in all this where if Jesus was standing right here and we could see his eyes, that is the part for which we would see his eyes right on us? All of this is God's word to us. All of this is a part of the gospel, the truth of Jesus to us. But where in this uniquely, maybe, is God inviting you to hear his voice today and respond and let him rest you? Not just today, but maybe all year. Maybe for the rest of your life. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will rest you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, it fits. And my burden is light.